From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we're happy to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. May the Lord bless you as you stay tuned for a message from God's Word, some Christ-honoring sacred music, and the hot topic of the day. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is focusing on the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in a message entitled, Christ, the Divine Teacher. No one has ever taught spiritual truth like the Lord Jesus. In his use of parables, we see that he is Lord both of creation and of redemption, the Son of God who alone can speak with ultimate authority. To begin, Dr. Cairns calls attention to today's hot topic, reporting that the Chinese communists have told their people, don't reincarnate without government permission.
The Chinese communist government has done some bizarre things in the past to maintain its stranglehold of power over its unfortunate subjects. However, I doubt that even the mad mandarins of Beijing have ever issued a more ludicrous directive than the one they issued recently to the Buddhist monks of Tibet. In a nutshell, they commanded the monks not to reincarnate their souls without government permission. And just to make a crazy situation even crazier, the Dalai Lama issued a statement to say that while Tibet remained under Chinese control, he would not reincarnate his soul in Tibet, but in some other place. We all know that what he's saying is that he will not go back to Tibet to die. Not only communists dismiss his claims to be able to reincarnate his soul. What is amazing is that China's communist dictators, who deny that man has a soul that survives death, are taking all the talk about reincarnation seriously enough as to try to control it by government decree. It's difficult to believe that all this nonsense is being taken seriously by communists. As usual, they have a very pragmatic reason for their apparently lunatic behavior. It's all about maintaining political control over Buddhist Tibet. According to Tibetan Buddhists, on the death of the Dalai Lama, his soul enters a new Dalai Lama. Now, since the Dalai Lama has immense moral authority over the Buddhists whom China is seeking to keep under control in Tibet, it's natural that the Chinese government would want to dictate who assumes the role of the Dalai Lama. They want to make sure that he'll be a man who will toe the line and not cause them too much trouble. On the other hand, the present Dalai Lama believes that by making sure that he dies outside of Tibet, he's making it immeasurably more difficult for the Chinese to proclaim his successor. So, it's on the cards that just as there used to be two popes, in fact at one time there were three, there will be two claimants to the title and honor of the Dalai Lama. There's something deeply saddening in all this. The Buddhist notion of reincarnation is a baseless invention, as is the associated idea of karma, which is the ultimate assertion of salvation by human merit. What the Dalai Lama proclaims is an empty promise. He will not reincarnate himself in any way. Like all other men, he will die, and his soul will go to its own place, and he will be judged as a sinner by the standards of God's immutable law. The Dalai Lama has no power over life or death, and certainly has no power to come back to Earth in any other form. Thank God we have the gospel of absolute truth. The Lord Jesus Christ had power over life and death. No man could take his life from him. He had power to lay it down, and he had power to take it up again. This is precisely what he did. He rose again from the dead, in the very body in which he had been crucified, and now lives in the power of an endless life. He is able to give eternal life to souls dead in trespasses and sins. He will not reincarnate them, but will in due time raise their bodies from the grave and will glorify them in sinless and eternal glory. That's not karma. That's grace. Amazing grace. Saving grace. It comes as a free gift and by divine decree, needing no permission from any government, Chinese, communist, or otherwise.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving telephone calls. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, and today we want to inform you that our new edition of the quarterly magazine Let the Bible Speak Quarterly is now available to those who ask. You'll find this particular issue very interesting. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the theme of the doctrines of grace, and there are other very informative and inspiring articles as well. You may receive a free copy of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly simply by asking for it. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
I said there were a couple of misunderstood parables here. In Numbers 5 and 6 of the parables, the lesson is that the Lord paid the ultimate price to redeem his people out of the world. You know, it's not Christ who is the hidden treasure. It's his people who are the hidden treasure. It's sinners like you and me. And he paid everything to purchase us and it stands interpretation on its head to say that we paid anything to purchase him. We didn't. Similarly, with the pearl of great price. Now we can say, and even Spurgeon preached a great sermon on Christ as the pearl of great price. We could call him that, just as we call him the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. But the Bible doesn't call him that. The Bible, if you want to check the Song of Solomon, you'll find I'm right here. The Bible calls us the lily of the valleys. The Bible, in fact, Christ calls us a rose of Sharon. We have taken those to be exclusive descriptions of Christ to speak of his unique beauty. Actually, they're used by Christ of us, not only to speak of how he beholds our beauty, but to say in human terms, you really are very common things, but I see in you the beauty of divine grace. So here, the pearl of great price is how Christ views his church. And he sells everything in order to spend all he is and has to purchase our redemption. Now, he could have put that in so many words, but when telling a parable, it makes it unforgettable. Now, we come to something that is a little different. And maybe a little more difficult. So I want you to listen up. Because Christ liberally used these parables, and that raises an important question. The question is, on what basis did he do it? And this leads to a great truth. The point that I'm going to make here is that the Lord Jesus Christ's use of parables shows him to be both the Lord of creation and the Lord of redemption, the one who alone has the authority to ascribe to creation or redemption its true meaning. He's the Lord of creation and redemption. We have read this morning that he describes himself as a sower. He gives us the interpretation himself. He is the sower. Now, in John 15, he says, I am the true vine. And he uses that to symbolize himself, and the branches to symbolize the church's union with him or its relationship with him. Now, how can he do that? How could he do it? What makes it fit for him to do that? Years ago, I read a statement by Cornelius Van Til, and he said, Christ was not just a clever human being who saw interesting parallels to human experience in nature. This is not just showing Christ was clever with a fertile imagination. No, he could take the things from the material and temporal world to expound the things of the spiritual and eternal world, because as God, he is the creator and the sustainer, what Paul calls and John calls, rather, the Logos, the Word behind the both of them. He is the Word through which the world is created and through which the world is upheld. He is the Word through which redemption is brought and bought, and through which his people are upheld. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For by him, or through him, were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to Paul here, is the Lord both of creation and of redemption. And both creation and redemption serve their true purpose in serving Him. You turn to the 8th Psalm. We look up into the sky and we see what? The stars. The heavens. God says, no, they're not just the heavens. They're my heavens. I made them. And I made them for my glory. Psalm 19, verse 1. I made them to express my glory and to serve my purpose. That's true of the natural world, and it's true of the spiritual world. It's true of creation, and it's true of redemption. They both find their true purpose in serving Him. Now, let's note this particularly of the natural world. What is this natural world? It's the environment in which the Lord Jesus Christ executes the plan of redemption. That's what it is. Therefore, its true purpose is to reflect Christ and His saving plan and grace. I can only touch on some of these things this morning, but a proper reading of the world will always lead to God and will always lead to admonish us to prepare for eternity through Christ. And that's the reason He could take the things like a seed that in some ways, and this is why you can't press parables to every detail. They're not meant to be pressed to every detail. He takes a seed that in some ways cannot be a picture of the Word of God and uses it as a picture of the Word of God. I say it cannot be because, let me give you the most outstanding, the easiest one to see. Take a big seed. Did you ever plant potatoes? Yeah, well, I have had enough of that in my lifetime as a young fellow, planting potatoes. We're still weeding them and then digging them by hand. No tillers, or I couldn't use a tiller, I never had to use it, but I could use a spade. But here's the thing. When you took up the potatoes, the seed was rotten. It was dead. It was filthy mush and unusable. Its life was gone. That's not true of the Word of God. It's incorruptible. But yet, notwithstanding that, the Lord Jesus, because He's not speaking of the seed in isolation as a picture of the Word, He's speaking of the sower sowing the seed and it producing various results in various environments. And that's what makes it right. He has created the one, and He has created the other, and He has created the bridge between them and the fitness of the one to illustrate the other. He is the Lord of creation. He is the Lord of redemption. And in doing all this, He establishes His own central authority and significance. Here's another big point. He is the absolute Christ. Nothing exists apart from Him. Everything exists for Him. Everything has its place that He has given it. Everything has the purpose that He has given it. And listen, this opens up a big door that I'm not going to go through, at least very far. This, He establishes the meaning. The meaning of every creature's existence. We live in a day when people are yearning for meaning. Meaning to life. Let me tell you, the meaning of your life and mine is what Christ has given it. That's true even of those who deny him. Paul says in Romans 11:36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen."
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.